This is Phil Farron. I am driving home. It's Thursday today. We had a little excitement this week. They replaced out the firewall. They tried to do it Wednesday, and they got it going, and then it was like, nope, and they rolled it back, and then they went ahead and replaced it out today, and it seems to be working. So tonight is the first time that we're going to try to run the overnight cycle with the new firewall. There absolutely should be no side effects. Absolutely. We were talking about it this afternoon, though, and at the end of the day, you got to kind of shrug and say, well, we won't know for sure until we try it. But it really, really shouldn't make any difference. So we'll see how it goes tonight. We think we're going to be okay, but you never know. You just never know. Excuse me. I just inhaled a little bit of saliva in the back of my throat. So that's good. All is well with the writing. The book is out to the beta readers. I already have one beta reader who has finished the book. So that seems to be going along. Haven't heard from any of the other beta readers yet. The new book is coming along. I'm working on book 8 now, which is the final book in the first 8 books. Woo! So this one's got to come to the big conclusion. The big dramatic conclusion. Which I think that's all under control. We'll see. Everything's kind of torn up in the plot right now at the moment. But I think I have a track to the end. We'll write it out. We'll see what happens. You know, you never really know if you're onto something until you write it out. So, that's good. What else? The family is good. All is well. Have a great t-shirt. I just love the t-shirt that I'm wearing tomorrow. Such a great t-shirt. So fun. It's a red t-shirt, and it has a picture on the front. I may have described this before. I don't know. It has a picture on the front of a sloth. I have described this before. I remember saying this. A sloth. And he's dressed in a Flash costume with extra long arms because his arms hang down so far. And he has this little chagrined look on his face. It's just a fabulous t-shirt. That's tomorrow. Whoop, whoop. So that's going to be fun. So all is well there. Crazy Paisley Day is coming up here in 2 weeks, I think. Crazy Paisley Day is coming up. And I have breakfasts with friends coming up. Life is good. Life is just good. So anyways, I had plenty of things that I was going to talk about, but I stumbled across this this TEDx talk, and I didn't write down the name of it on my notes. Just a second. Let me see if I can pull it out real quick. Because what I have on my notes is not what the TED Talk is actually called. It is called... Wait, I'm coming to a stoplight here, so let me just find this real quick. DNA. Oh, no. Broccoli. The DNA Whisperer. By Tom Malter. And I'd kind of heard some of this stuff before, but I thought, you know, you should watch that. See, because I've started eating more raw broccoli, but I think I'm going to amp this up. So I'm going to start eating like a cup of raw broccoli a day, along with berries, more berries, raw kale, cabbage. Of course, I get my cabbage from sauerkraut, so I think I've got that under control. But yeah, some of this is pretty interesting. This is pretty interesting. He was talking about the fact that his primary job, in this TEDx talk, he was talking about the fact that his primary job is to evaluate medical scientific literature and instruct physicians on a nutritional biochemistry. And he said, honestly, what he's seen as he goes through all this medical scientific literature is a bit disconcerting when it comes to things like air pollution. Because they said, he said air pollution is getting upgraded to a level one carcinogen, I think he said. He said that means basically particulates that come from burning fossil fuel diesel exhaust is getting into our cells and into our bodies and irritating them, and it can turn cancerous. And he said, you know, we all hear about the reports from Beijing about how terrible the air pollution is there, and we think, oh, well, it'll be terrible to live over there. He said, but in fact, NASA has been tracking a phenomenon that they call the brown cloud. That those pollutants actually make it all the way up into the jet stream, and then within 7 days, they're deposited on the western seaboard of the United States. So I'm glad I don't live on the western seaboard of the United States. Anyways, not really, but it is sad. He said, and then there's all sorts of things that are getting applied to our plants and to our living conditions. You know, the pesticides, the hundreds of millions of pounds of pesticides, the neurotoxins. And he said, we're seeing in the umbilical cord blood of unborn that these levels are going up and up. And as they go up, IQ scores go down. I mean, there's just all kinds of things like this that are going on in the world today. So, what to do? What to do? Well, he said, surprisingly enough, it's not as bad as it might be, because there's some amazing things that we can do. And a lot of those amazing things center around what we eat. And not surprisingly, natural things in the real world, not the Frankenfoods that food companies make to get us addicted to the taste, not the foods that are on the inner aisles of the grocery stores, but the foods that are on some of the outer aisles, because this does not include eggs, breads, cheeses, all that sort of thing. But it does include vegetables. I think I may have mentioned that I've just started asking people, so what one food group is in every single diet that you've ever heard of where people say it's good for you? Answer, vegetables. Vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. And within that food group, there are certain vegetables that are even better for you. And these are the cruciferous vegetables. Cruciferous, I think what they are. And one of those vegetables in there is broccoli. So there has been some studies. And I think I mentioned several weeks ago about a documentary I'd watched on Netflix about the fact that they were doing studies on cancer and cancer treatment possibilities, and by inducing cancerous tumors in rats that they then fed broccoli, just plain broccoli, no other drugs, that they were able to see a dramatic shrinkage in the size of the tumors. It's broccoli! And the doctor, chagrined, on that documentary was saying, if we had seen the kind of results that we are getting from feeding these animals broccoli in any kind of manufactured drugs, this headline would be plastered all across the newspapers. Miracle drug causes 50% to 90% reduction in cancerous tumors. cancerous tumors. But because it's broccoli, it doesn't get the press. Anyway, so yes, broccoli can do amazing things. They think now that the compound is called sulforaphane, and that it actually gets into your cells and gets into the nucleus of your cells, and it actually causes your DNA to like work better, which is pretty amazing. The guy who was giving this talk was putting it in terms of an analogy that this chemical whispers to your DNA and says, hey, you can do more, and it opens up and actually turns things on. And once it turns things on, there's more antioxidant proteins that are manufactured, and in fact, it not only helps control cancerous tumors, they think, but it also helps you shuttle, it's like it has a detoxifying effect, that these proteins aren't only antioxidants, but they can detoxify, that they shuttle the biohazards out of your cells. And so what you're left with when you consume broccoli on a regular basis is increased cellular function. And they said this is indicative, and this is fairly normal for all the cruciferous vegetables. So that includes things like cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, arugula, etc., etc., etc. And they said it looks like these foods will help protect you from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, lung cancer, breast cancer, stomach cancer, colorectal cancer. He said you'll see the numbers of colorectal cancer go down as you increase servings of cruciferous vegetables. He said, as it turns out, according to him, it's like the ultimate antioxidant. And the great thing about a lot of these substances is that they grow like weeds. There's this one he mentioned, bittercress. Bittercress. He said, people think it's a weed, and it's not. He said, if you just pick that stuff out of your garden and put it in your salad, it's really good for you. He said, there's another group in Iowa who have started something called the Mustard Project, and they're actually taking the family of vegetables that's in the mustard family of vegetables and concentrating the sulfur compounds and making incredible non-toxic herbicides. He said, they're taking the oils from it, spraying on the fields, and it protects from insects. Said they found an additional use by extracting oil from the process and turning it into biofuels. So there's amazing stuff out there that's going on with vegetables. We love the vegetables. So they said there's John Hopkins researchers who went over to China and they gave beverages rich in these substances to people who were exposed to air pollution, and they found that the toxins that they were breathing in, if they had these beverages, more of those toxins were actually being flushed out in their urine. They found that rats exposed to pesticide, if you give them this sulforaphane, it actually protects them from damage. From the amount of damage that would have been done. Let's put it that way. And it's a single family of vegetables. Now, you know what's going to happen next. Somebody's going to isolate this chemical, and then they're going to put it in a pill, and then they're going to tell everybody, oh, just take this pill. Why are they telling people, oh, just take this pill? Because they can sell that pill for a whole lot more than people who grow broccoli can sell broccoli. But I will just guarantee you that if you isolate out that one chemical from all the other stuff that's in broccoli, that it's not gonna work as well. because we have had thousands and thousands and thousands of years to adapt in our immune systems to become accustomed to broccoli. We have these amazingly adaptive systems. And we should recognize that our system have adapted over thousands and thousands of years to these things. And we should cooperate with that. We should cooperate. And one of the ways we can cooperate is just eating broccoli. So anyways, so he calls broccoli the alpha vegetable. He said there was a team that was doing advertisements for broccoli, trying to get people to eat more broccoli. It was cute. There was a lot of cute. He said, he's talking about, you know, eat more broccoli. It's 100% less trendy than kale. And they're talking about how it's the alpha broccoli, or the alpha vegetable, and it goes great with a side of steak. He was saying, you know, we've got to get our kids to get starting early and get them accustomed to that baby diaper smell that there is in broccoli, which I've eaten enough raw broccoli now that I don't have nearly the problem with it that I did at one time. And that's the thing. You just got to keep going. And then beyond that, he was talking about the other things that we know are good for us, like berries and those kind of things. So anyways, he did say, now I know that some people are sitting out there and saying, oh, well, if I eat all these cruciferous vegetables, that it's going to give me thyroid disease. But he said, when you really look at the studies, I'm backing into my garage. When you look at the studies and when you really look at the levels that were required to damage your thyroid, he said, you'd have to be eating a whole bunch of these vegetables every day. So he said, you know, he said, unless you're going to eat multiple pounds of raw vegetables every day and you have an iodine deficiency, you know, maybe you'll develop thyroid problems. He also did say, if you want to cook your vegetables, wait, I have some boxes out there. I'm going to have to open the garage door again. He did say, if you're going to cook your vegetables, just lightly steam them 2 minutes. He said, don't do cafeteria style where it's just been killed. 7 minutes boiled, left on a countertop. He said, you're just going to kill all the good stuff in there. He said, you know, broccoli can change you, and it turns out the broccoli family can change our planet. But I'm talking about one family of vegetables. I'm talking about one chemical today, and there are tens of thousands of chemicals that have been discovered in the last few decades. So I want you to leave today remembering a few things, one of which is be kind to your broccoli, and your broccoli will be kind to you. The other thing is, if broccoli can do all these amazing things, what can blueberries do? So this past week, I had actually started kind of a new thing because I had watched another TED Talk that was talking about grapes and was talking about blueberries. And I had read that stuff before, but I just decided, you know what, we're going to give this a try. And so sometimes in the morning when I eat a lot of processed sugars, I get up and my joints are a little bit sore. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try getting a bag full of grapes and blueberries. I have done blueberries in the past and blackberries. And I'm just going to make them part of my daily routine. Like when I'm writing, I'm just going to get a bowl of grapes or blueberries or blackberries and put them together with some nuts. And that's what I'm going to eat to keep my glucose level up in my brain as I'm writing. And you know what? That works pretty good. It really works pretty good, because I can just keep ingesting those a little bit at a time as I'm burning glucose when I'm writing. And the next morning, you know, I was pretty good fine. The other thing that I'm working on as well is I'm trying the whole 5-hour intermittent fasting thing. I did the 8-hour thing, and that seemed to work okay. Then I kind of got off track with things when I was on vacation. And so inadvertently, I ended up in a 5-hour deal where I got busy. I didn't eat lunch. I hadn't had breakfast. I just had some coffee. And so I didn't eat until Tuesday night. And so then I ate Tuesday night. And then Wednesday was my regular fast day. So I just had a little coffee and tea on Wednesday. And then this morning, I thought, you know what? Maybe you should start trying that five-hour thing. And the five-hour thing is you just don't eat anything that's laden with calories outside a five-hour window. And I determined, you know what? If I start at 5 o'clock in the evening, I can eat all the way through to the time I go to bed. So I'm actually trying that today. So I'm a little lightheaded because I did eat a little bit when I was at my dad's visiting with him at 5 o'clock, but I haven't had anything really to eat since Tuesday night. So that kind of makes for a long day on Thursday, and it ends up being almost 48 hours. Not quite, but almost 48 hours. So it's a little bit of a push, but Tuesday wasn't bad. Tuesday wasn't bad at all. I had eaten Monday night, and then I didn't eat anything till Tuesday night, so not bad. I'm just going to give it a try. Just see how things go, and then we'll go from there. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.